This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Construction and Power Women Investing.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure.
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
And good morning, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, events, history, and the culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
That is exactly right, Fred.
And we invite people to visit us at fredandjeff.com. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and even subscribe to this tome of wisdom and entertainment on iTunes and TuneIn Radio. And Jeffrey.
And Fred.
I had to run to the studio today. Actually, we're not at the studio. We're down at the Tucson Symphony Orchestra headquarters, HQ, for one of the great cultural...
for TSO.
HQ icons
for TSO.
In Tucson,
we love the symphony.
But right now, this very second, at down on 4th Avenue, the Greater Arizona Bicycle Swap Meet.
Come on!
Which is also known as GABA.
Yep, the GABA Bike Swap Meet.
Yeah, this is actually...
Until 2 o'clock, right?
2 o'clock.
Until 2 o'clock.
Let's see, twice a year, this is the largest bicycle swap meet in Southern Arizona occurring on our beloved 4th Avenue.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I was thinking really about the 4th Avenue being beloved.
Yeah.
And, you know, today is also the AKC Coyote Classic Dog Show. What do you think about that? Over at the Pima County Fairgrounds. Over 4,800 puppy dogs are entered into this unbelievable show. Get on down there if you like you some puppy. And maybe vote for the classic dog of Tucson. And folks, of course, this first segment, as always, is brought to you by our good friends at Tucson Happenings.
Yeah.
Check out the website, TucsonHappenings.com, because if it's happening in the old Pueblo, you're going to read about it on Tucson Happenings. And Fred, today is National Bundt Pan Day.
Very nice.
Or National Raisin Bran Cereal Day.
Now, you know what you can make it with a Bundt pan is the infamous pound cake.
Then it is infamous. Or today
it's
is
like
also...
How can you not love the flour,
sugar,
and butter? How
eggs.
Can you just not love, you know, three...
Got to have some eggs in
a
there.
A pound of each and...
Maybe a little baking soda.
And you've got pound cake.
It's beautiful. Honey, a little honey.
No, I don't know.
Oh, I love the honey
crazy.
Pound cake. Mm. And today is also National Philanthropy Day. So, folks, later, Fred's going to be giving a lot of money away to some... needy person. Stay tuned.
Yeah, that's right. My son going to college. That's
that's needy.
So
and
right,
wait,
actually,
wait, tonight,
seven, about 8 minutes
tonight.
Ago, 8 minutes ago started the open studio tour all across the valley of Tucson, Arizona.
What
in
is that?
The metropolitan area. There are artists all over this community. A lot of them are concentrated in the city center, but they have open tours. You can go in and see their workspace. Watch them work, buy local art. It's all happening right now, and it's going till 5 o'clock. If you go to TPACOST, which is Tucson Pima Arts Council Open Studio Tour.
Oh, yeah, awesome.
TPACOST.org. You get a map of all the studio locations throughout Tucson.
That's super cool, you know, because there are lots and lots of art studios all over town. They're kind of hidden everywhere. You got to get on these secret lists sometimes, it seems like. So it's awesome that they're doing that.
Yeah, it is very cool.
Yeah, today is also the 4th annual Side Pony Express Music Festival. That's happening where else but Old Bisbee.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're heading down to Bisbee and you're tuning in to the Fred and Jeff Show, good for you. Enjoy yourself at the annual Side Pony Express Music Festival.
Oh, and coming up at the Rialto Theater, Jeffrey...
Yes.
November 19th is the Suicide Girls Black Heart Burlesque Tour.
Oh, good Lord.
Live on stage at the Rialto Theater.
You know, my buddy Tony Zinman?
Yes.
He wanted to take us all to a burlesque show.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that.
Oh, too bad. So today at 1 p.m. from 1 to 5 is the 2015 Tucson Buddy Walk.
Oh, yeah, I was going to talk about that, 14th annual.
For Down Syndrome Awareness over at Reed Park Demeester Outdoor Performance Center.
That's right, from 1 to
5. Formerly known and still known as the Reed Park Band Show.
Is it? Is
actually,
that true?
Actually, well, to me, it's known as the Randolph Park Band Show.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Today also, folks, don't forget the weekly Tucson Ukulele Meetup.
And Jeffrey,
you gotta
still
go over to Himmel Park Library for still, the ukulele.
Still to this day,
I will bring in my baritone ukulele
that he owns.
I'm
one.
Gonna I play can, you a song,
I could
Fred.
Assume you own one, but I doubt you've ever even strummed it.
That's not true. That's absolutely not
Maybe
true.
You took it out of the package.
You wish upon a star.
You took it out of the package and accidentally hit the strings, I think. That's about the extent of your ukulele.
Not true. Not true at all. And then, folks, finally, for me, Fred's probably got some more silliness to talk about. Tonight, if you're looking for something unbelievable to do, 21 and older event, tonight is the Southern Arizona Arts and Cultural Alliance Crush. Tucson Museum of Art.
Dude, it's too late.
No.
It sold out.
It did?
It sells out like about 5 minutes after the tickets go on sale.
Can you scalp tickets?
You could.
I'm going down there because I don't think we got our tickets. We're just going to walk in.
No. You cannot just walk into Crush. Crush sells out every year.
Oh, man. I am
bummed. Sorry about that.
Well,
I'll be
there. Congratulations. You're going?
I have tickets. How much are you willing to pay?
How much did they cost you?
I'm not at liberty to say what they cost me.
Because you probably worked over the whole, I'm with the media. Friend Jeff Show, we're the media. Free tickets, please. Dude, you got to stop that. I've busted you at Comic-Con. I've busted you at how many places?
Comic-Con's the only place.
Oh, well, what other places have you done that?
Comic-Con's the only one.
And $80 general admission, $150 VIP, and I'm telling you, if I go there tonight, they will sell me some tickets. I know they will.
No, they won't.
They need the money.
They're sold out.
And it's sponsored by...
They're sold out.
...BY Steakhouse.
Sold out.
...and Tequila Factory.
Yeah.
All right, folks, sold we got to take a break.
I do have one last thing.
I knew it.
Because we're giving away a couple things.
Oh, what
so,
are we giving?
Well, we need to give away a dozen roses from our friends at Mayfield Florist.
Yes.
And the number to do that is 520-428-5104.
Yes.
You're such a geek. 520-428-5104.
Ivan the Cat. Folks, this is a little preview of what we're going to talk about today. So stick around because we got lots more
and
here on.
And you have to give away.
Oh, we got more to give away?
Yeah, I got tons of stuff to give away. Clean comedy shows up in Marana.
Oh, that's right.
At the Falcon Auditorium, Marana Middle School. $10 gets you in, and if you don't laugh, they give you your money back. But we're giving away free tickets for the clean comedy shows up in Marana. Again, 520-428-5104. And Jeffrey, you are just such a geek.
No, man, I love Peter and the Wolf. So, folks, stick around. We got lots more here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
I give my love to you, all my body and soul. I give my mind to you with a love that never grows. I give my love to you, all my body and soul. I give my mind to you with a love that never grows. You are my smiles, the last tears. You are my days.
This bit of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Unicom Graphics, Steel Door, and Sleeping Frog Farms.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt here with my little brother Jeffrey.
Hola, Shukshon.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and the culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
That is exactly right, Fred.
And you know, Jeff...
I do know Fred.
One of the things that we have been very remiss on, although not so remiss, we've had actually the prior conductor, musical director of this great organization.
George Hanson.
But the Tucson Symphony Orchestra
Like George, but you know George's problem?
He's got
give me any strokes to play golf.
Yeah, he's a scratch golfer.
He's terrible. I mean, you go and you want to play golf with a guy, he won't even give you a stroke.
But he will give you a cigar.
Yes, he's very, very, very generous with the cigars.
Yes, he is. So anyways, we are here at the big HQ of the Tucson Symphony Orchestra, one of the finest cultural organizations in Tucson and Southern Arizona. And with us is the semi-new...
President
new.
Yeah, new. N-E-W, new.
Yeah.
Not
I didn't say newt.
W. We didn't turn me into a newt.
Did not get turned into a newt.
I got better. No, but I thought you said nude.
No, Mark.
Semi-nude.
No, we don't want that.
No, it's Sunday morning, for goodness sakes. Yeah, well, this is true. We're all here in our underwear at the Symphony Orchestra.
Yeah,
not true, Mom and Dad. We are not in our underwear.
So with us is Mark Blakeman, who is the president and CEO of the Tucson Symphony Orchestra.
Congratulations.
Hey, guys. Well, thank you.
Welcome to Tucson.
Thank you.
How do you like it?
I like it.
And now you're from Nashville.
My family moved here from Nashville, and we lived in Nashville for the last 15 years where my daughter was born. My wife and I, however, are originally from Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City.
That's like Tornado Alley, baby.
It really is, and it can be a scary place in the springtime. But we grew up in Oklahoma City, love the Tucson climate. You know, it's a little bit like Oklahoma.
Well, now, wait a second. You grew up in Oklahoma City, and you love the Tucson climate. Why'd you go to Nashville?
Well, I went for work, of course.
So did you go to Oklahoma State?
I went to University of Oklahoma, then I went to Oklahoma City University, then I went to Oklahoma State University, and somewhere in between there, I went to Middle Tennessee State University right outside of Nashville.
I know Middle Tennessee State. Some unbelievable Hall of Fame football player came from Middle Tennessee State.
Now, see, I wouldn't know that.
Oh, you're not a big fan?
No. Well, you know.
To Oklahoma. Goodness.
Dynasty issues involved.
I'm a music guy, and Middle Tennessee State, my undergraduate alma mater, has the largest music business program in the country.
Really?
Currently, they have 1,500 majors. And
any colonels and captains?
That's a good question, actually.
So they have how many majors?
They have 1,500 majors in their music business program.
That's unbelievable.
And because of the proximity, you know, being there in Nashville, it's a great environment for people that want to get into the music business because there are all these very practical ways for them to get experience and connect and network. And
so seriously, Nashville's a pretty good place if you're interested in music?
In fact, it is.
You know, Fred doesn't
Some would get... even call it Music City.
Ah. Oh. Fred doesn't... Don't you remember the Music City Miracle, Fred?
Is that when the U.S. beat the Russians in hockey?
That's it. That's exactly it. I'm Excellent. So proud of you.
Excellent.
So Tennessee.
Yeah.
Nashville, Tennessee.
That's right.
So you do all of your schooling in Oklahoma. You get to Middle Tennessee State. You, from there, where do you jump to? Straight to Nashville?
I actually moved back to Oklahoma. Got another college degree, got a master's, I got an MBA in arts administration. So I trained for this job for many, many years, Jeff. People that ran orchestras were failed musicians. And for a very long time, they were people that had music performance degrees or music education degrees, and they loved the art. They loved symphonic music. They loved the creative aspect. But they didn't always have a good balance between the art piece of it and the business piece of it. And so I trained specifically for this. More of my peers, I think in the last decade or so, more people that are involved in the administration of orchestras have a training or formal background that actually marries and brings those two things together.
But you're also a recovering trumpet
that's
player.
Right.
Right?
That's my line.
So you're...
I'm a recovering trumpet player. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. I've noticed in the last probably 5-7 years, there's been an emphasis in music schools to talk about the business aspect of being a musician. Not just an administrator, but how does, you know, the flute player, the horn player, the violin, you know, how do they actually make a living
That's
at
right.
this stuff?
Yeah, it's a tough living, and anyone that wants to be a musician professionally is going to have to really devote themselves to their craft. But, you know, the way the world has evolved, the influence of technology, just the changing marketplace, young musicians have to figure out how to make a living doing that. And so there are some really terrific training programs out there for people that want to be performers, but they're now taking the time to teach them about things like marketing and networking and social media. And those are things that are helping them develop their careers. And I think that for a lot of musicians, the more the more diversified you can be in how you do your work and how you can apply your musical skills, the more success you can have in your career.
And so are you seeing a renaissance of these symphony groups throughout the country because of the time and energy these college institutions are putting into it?
Well, there a couple of different things. One, the young musicians that are coming out of music conservatories these days play at an extremely high level of skill. They're technically extremely proficient, so they're constantly raising the bar, these young musicians. So it's good for us and other orchestras because it means that there are a lot of talented people out there that are very capable of playing their instrument at a high level and being a part of an orchestra. What is happening for orchestras is there's a move to be more responsive to changes that are happening in our community. So I definitely feel, I see across the orchestra field more orchestras that are changing up their programming. They're adding other elements to their performances, such as visuals. They're adding technology. And what they're doing is they're using a variety of programming to create more diverse entry points to bring people in to experience the orchestra.
Now, and the purists, that doesn't upset them?
I think that it may some, but, you know, music is an evolution. And, you know, my view is I don't want the Tucson Symphony Orchestra to be a museum, you know, where we, and no offense to my friends that are in the museum business, but, you know, I don't want us to simply be preserving an art form that was created 200 years ago. I want us to be relevant to the community today, and that means honoring our past and paying tribute to that, playing that repertoire at a very high level, but we also need to be doing things to reach broader into the community. And I think that means programming in a way that you meet people where they are.
Okay, just as one patron.
Did we get, we got kind of deep there for
no,
a second.
No, but that's really good.
But as one patron, I just want to say very clearly, no more Philip Glass.
Oh, Philip Glass is awesome.
You know, I got to tell you something.
Wait, Fred. For our listeners that don't know, who is Philip Glass?
Philip Glass is one of the crappiest... writers. What are you,
he's a composer.
Composer, I think. Actually, it's funny because I have a bunch of... Our paternal grandfather, Edward Ronstadt, avid classical music, opera. Anytime you go to the house, he had a reel-to-reel or albums going.
He had classical music... just blaring.
He was an audiophile of classical music.
Complete audiophile, but he was a Renaissance man because he would play stuff from the 1700s all the way to current times. I mean, he loved it all.
Now, after our grandparents passed away, we have a huge family, and so we all were going through the house. And
not all of us.
Taking mementos.
Fred was first in line.
Yeah, because I'm the oldest. So, and it's also, never mind. Yeah. So anyways, I got a bunch of his classical albums, but I also found this little 45.
Oh, that's where they went?
I got this little 45 from a guy named Moondog. And
sounds
apparently,
like a DJ.
No, it's actually a guy from 1953. He's regarded as the father of minimalist music, sort of, you know, the school that Philip Glass and all these guys are coming from. And I was surprised. I mean, when I first listened to it, it sounded like a bunch of beatniks, making bongo noises and stuff. But he's actually regarded as the father of minimalism. And, you know, there is this, what you were saying earlier, is they're changing moods, the changing tides of music and tastes. And from the beatnik origins of Moondog, we now have Philip Glass.
Yeah. And I think contemporary composers living today, have come to realize they want the music that they write to be performed more than once. I always say it's easier to get a world premiere than it is to get your second performance. So I think that composers have figured out that they need to write in a manner that allows that work to live beyond its world premiere. And to some extent, that means a certain level of accessibility, for the listener. And I think that more composers are writing music for people and less for... art's sake, or less for themselves, or less for some scientific approach less of a scientific approach to the way that they actually go about creating music.
And Mark, is that how? Because as the president of the Tucson Symphony Orchestra, your goal is to do what? Where do you want to take our little orchestra?
I want
our symphony.
What I want for the orchestra is to kind of take a step back and really focus on how it can best serve the broadest community of Tucson possible. And that's going to be something that we can do over time. And it'll be driven, I believe, by the way that we choose to do our programming. We're going to continue to do the great classical works that we do now, and it's something that our orchestra is extremely good at. But I think there's an opportunity to add to that, and that gives us entry points to reach other people in the community. And that's what I want to do. I want to see more people. I want to see a nice mix of people. I want to see young and old, cultural diversity. Those are things that I want to see in our audience over a period of time.
And I think it's important to say that any vibrant community needs a strong symphony. And
well, I believe that.
Well, I do too. I absolutely do. And I'm sure most anybody you ask would believe that the arts are really critical to a vibrant community. So for your, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, but one of your goals is to reach out to more communities in our community. That's a great goal.
It is.
And it's not that it wasn't done in the past. It's just you guys have kind of meandered down different pathways, and now you're kind of getting back to the roots of the Tucson Symphony.
That's right. That's right. And we're very excited to be able to do that. And I think it creates all kinds of opportunities for us. And at the end of the day, it's about sharing great symphonic music with the community, and we want to be able to have an impact on their lives, as many lives in the community as we can, and we just think that's a great art form to share with everyone. And you know, there are so many avenues and possibilities with programming where we can do that.
And we're really, really, really excited to have you on the show too, because for the second half of the show, not only are we going to get to meet someone that Fred and I are pretty excited to talk to, but you're also going to share with us some of the programming that you guys have got planned.
That's right.
And it is amazing. So, folks, stick around. We got more with Mark Blakeman from the Tucson Symphony here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Contracting, Ronstadt Insurance, and Casa de la Luz Hospice.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother Jeffrey.
Dun, dun, dun!
And we are talking about the people, the places, the events, history, and the culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona. So, gosh darn wonderful.
That is exactly right, Fred.
And we invite people to visit us at fredandjeff.com, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and even subscribe to this tome of wisdom and entertainment on iTunes and TuneIn Radio.
Now, and Jeff, support our sponsors, because without them, there's no Fred and Jeff Show.
Well, that's very true.
Yeah, support those sponsors.
So, Jeff, we are sitting at the Brain Center of the Tucson Symphony Orchestra.
Yes.
Their HQ on North 6th Avenue, talking with Mark Blakeman, who is the president and CEO of said orchestra.
Yes.
And we were talking about all the crazy stuff, him living in Tornado Alley. And
well, you were complaining Philip about Glass. Some Philip Glass
yeah, we're
situation.
Talking about Philip Glass.
And, you know, I think you really hurt Mark's feelings because he seems to be a big Philip Glass fan.
Well, I think Philip Glass fans should be lined up and shot.
Now, Philip Glass, there are different eras of composition, and depending on when you catch him, you might like some of his stuff.
There you go. See, Fred, he's already trying to convert you. So, okay, so let's get serious here. We got about 4 minutes to go before the bottom of the hour. And
before we talk to Kathy.
Yeah, we're going to talk
Kelly,
to I mean. Kelly. So we want to get a good idea of what folks can anticipate for the Tucson Symphony Orchestra. Can you give us kind of a brief lineup?
I'll give you some highlights of some things that are coming up. In January, George Hansen, who was our music director for 19 years, is coming back. This year is his conductor laureate year. He'll be back on the podium. He is conducting Mahler's Das Lied von der Erde, and also a...
Well, you say that so
I
well.
I know. Well, I've been practicing. and he's also conducting a piece by a composer named Tan Dun, which is Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. It's for the it's a cello concerto, and it's from the film.
That is a great movie.
I'm shocked there was no Bernstein in there.
Great. There's no Bernstein in there. It is a little surprising, isn't it?
You say Bernstein, he says Bernstein.
Yeah. Oh, he's probably correct.
Tomato.
I think it's Bernstein. Next spring, we have Carmina Burana, which is this enormous symphonic and vocal work. Everybody knows this piece, even if you don't know it, because you hear it on TV commercials and in movies all the time.
Can you help us a couple bars?
Oh, gosh, no.
Where's the trumpet?
I refuse. We have Andre Watts, incomparable Watts,
awesome.
Coming as piano soloist with the orchestra in February. He's playing Rachmaninoff 2. We also have in February The Chieftains.
Ugh, love The Chieftains.
The Chieftains are fantastic, and I've had the good fortune to work with them a couple of different times. It's going to be great. I think every show is a little different with them. They always infuse their concerts with some local flavor, so you're going to see some other things.
The Irish Dancing Kids.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Folks,
a little whiskey.
If you have a little Irish whiskey, yes, Fred. If you have the opportunity, you got to check out the Chieftains show. But all these sound fantastic.
Yeah, we got a great lineup.
Great lineup. Now, where can people go to check out more on the Tucson Symphony?
So, best place to go is to check out our website at tucsonsymphony.org. You can see all the lineup there. And you can also call our box office, except I don't have the phone number handy.
We'll have it on the
website. Someone will find it for us.
We will have it on the website, folks. Folks, you got to come out and support the Tucson Symphony Orchestra.
This is a huge flipping season. I mean, there's something for everybody. There's classics, there's pops, there's family stuff going on. As a matter of fact,
we're going to be talking to Kelly Corcoran.
Kelly Corcoran.
Yeah, so folks, you got to stick around to listen to Kelly Corcoran. She's going to be conducting the Pixar Symphony Orchestra that's happening in a couple of weeks. She's quite a person, and Mark, you brought her to town. So,
yep.
Folks, stick around. We'll be right back with more on The Fred and Jeff Show.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun, I say it's all right.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Anthony's Cigar Emporium, Power Women Investing, and Mayfield Florist.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Shukshon.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and the culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
And you know what's part of our culture, Fred, but it really isn't?
Is it bacteria?
Peter and the Wolf.
How is that part of our culture?
Because when we were little kids, we watched it during the Christmas time.
No, if it's part of our culture, it's Pietro y la Coyote. That's
well,
more.
I am very impressed that you were able to pull that out of somewhere so quickly.
Yeah.
But you meant Pedro, right?
Not Pietro.
Pietro? No, I think it's Pedro y los Coyote.
La Coyote.
It's something like that, or the Chupacabra.
Yeah, the Chupacabra, yeah. So we've been talking about the Tucson Symphony, and actually we are broadcasting from the lovely digs of the Tucson Symphony Orchestra over on North 6th Ave, here in beautiful Tucson, Arizona. And we have been talking to Mark Blakeman, who's the shiny coat is kind of wearing off a little bit.
I was reminded this week that this was my 1-year anniversary, but I was so busy working, I had no idea until somebody let me in on it. But I've been here exactly 1 year.
Very nice. So Mark Blakeman is the president and CEO of Tucson Symphony. And online with
and
us.
And your employer.
And no, we don't talk about that.
Oh, we don't?
Because some people...
That's
some
a
people,
secret,
some
Jeff.
People help,
oh, that's right. I
some
forgot.
Some people help out in different ways, but... We don't talk about it.
We're not lifting the veil of
the
holiday season.
We go to the grave with some of these things.
Cool.
So, but we are excited about, a reinvention, rejuvenation of an old tradition for Tucson Symphony, 10 years ago we used to do this, but now it's coming back.
Yeah, tell us more about the family series.
It's been a while since we've done this, but you know, we're the Tucson Symphony Orchestra is very focused on reaching more of our community, and we know that the way for us to do that is through targeted programming that will appeal to different segments of Tucson. So we're very excited to have a family series again that we will launch later this month. It starts Thanksgiving weekend with Pixar in concert, but we have four different family-friendly programs. It includes Pixar, Peter and the Wolf, Cindy Ellen, A Wild Western Cinderella, and we have in December our Magic of Christmas program.
The Magic of Christmas.
Yeah, it's magical.
It is magical. But, and so who's helping you put this whole hootenanny together, Mark?
Well, you know, there are a lot of different people involved, but Pixar, I think, is a great way to start our whole series. It kind of launches it, and we believe that that will bring in a lot of kids, a lot of parents, a lot of grandparents. It's going to be a lot of fun for everyone. And a good friend of mine named Kelly Corcoran, who I worked with in Nashville, is going to come in and be our conductor for this program. And she has a lot of experience doing family programming, and I just felt like she was going to be the perfect match.
And as it just so happens, ladies and gentlemen, who do we have on the phone direct from Nashville, Tennessee?
Maybe she knows her cousin.
Who? Well, we'll have to ask her.
Yeah.
Kelly Corcoran, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
How's the weather in Nashville?
Yeah.
How's the weather in Nashville?
It's beautiful. It's 60 degrees and sunny.
Nice.
Great.
Nice. Well, thanks so much for helping Mark put this family series together.
Yeah, my pleasure. I mean, you know, family concerts have always been really core to, you know, my heart. And I think orchestral music is so colorful and vibrant and just alive with sounds and colors, and kids and families really, really respond and love hearing this kind of music. So it's thrilling to be able to be at the helm for family programming.
That's awesome. Now, you've been with the Nashville Symphony for 9 seasons.
That's right.
Where were you before you were with the Nashville Symphony?
Well, I'm from Massachusetts originally, and before I was in Nashville, I was with the Canton Symphony Orchestra in Ohio. And before that, I was, you know, at Indiana University studying conducting, and in Boston doing, you know, studying music as well. So, but I've done family concerts, you know, at quite a few places all around the country. I've done a number of family programs with the Cleveland Orchestra and, you know, Detroit and all over. So it's really exciting for me to be able to bring this programming throughout the country to orchestras everywhere.
That's awesome. And you also, I'm reading your bio online, you also have a lot to do with a, what is it? It's a musical group, a choir group. Are you in charge of a choir group there in Nashville?
Yeah, now I'm in charge of the Nashville Symphony Chorus. I'm their director.
And what is the Nashville Symphony Chorus?
Well, the Nashville Symphony Chorus is a group of, now it's about 200 singers.
Holy
mackerel. They sing with the Nashville Symphony anytime, you know, we do any major choral work, whether it's Messiah or Mozart Requiem or, you know, any major work requiring chorus. We're the official chorus for the Nashville Symphony. So it's fun to work with all kinds of musicians and all kinds of people who are just passionate about making music.
And are any of these folks professionals, or are they just kind of your local neighbors who all have a passion for singing?
Yeah, you know, in the Nashville Symphony Chorus, they're all people from all over the community, you know, doctors, lawyers, teachers. Some of them are professional musicians, but it's a volunteer chorus, and so they all come together every week to rehearse and prepare this repertoire to you know, perform with the symphony. So it's really fun for me. I get to have a great balance in my life where I get to work with, you know, volunteer singers, professional orchestras, and, you know, contemporary music, and just bring forward just new innovative ways to interact with great music making.
That's fantastic. So give our listeners, because we're a couple of weeks away from the Pixar in Concert event, can you give our listeners an idea of what they might see and why they definitely want to go to this event?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, film music is a story. I mean, it's how we engage in the story. It adds so much to a film. You know, we often can feel the intensity of a scene or where things are going. It just adds this incredible depth and layer to what's happening in a film, and it's a real character in the film oftentimes. I love the way that film music is really, in some ways, our first encounter for many people with orchestral, great orchestral music. So, you know, you're going to hear this fabulous music played by a live orchestra right there in person. So there's nothing like live performance and the spontaneity and energy that you feel coming from the musicians on stage. But you're also going to see footage from some of your great, you know, favorite Pixar films. I mean, we all love Pixar and Nemo and, you know, all of these Toy Story. I mean, there's just
Cars, such great
movies. Yeah, and so to see this footage and films that we love on the big screen, but, you know, accompanied by live music is really a great experience that can't be replicated.
Okay. You know, so it's interesting because a movie like WALL-E, which is a Pixar movie, there's no dialogue until probably about, I would imagine, at least halfway through the film.
Right. Absolutely. So the whole soundscape and the colors and all of those things play vitally into the storytelling. And, you know, if you watch a film without the music, it's a totally different experience. And, you know, I've had the good fortune of being able to conduct a few film scores now. You know, I did Psycho and Casablanca, and obviously that's not necessarily family repertoire, but nonetheless, great film music, you know. But just, you know, it's so interesting for me as a conductor to study that repertoire and to watch a film over and over and over and, you know, just discover new things and recognize how the music enhances a scene or enhances the impact of what's happening in the story. And so, I mean, I just am in love with film music, and I think it's just a great great way for people to experience an orchestra. You know, if they haven't maybe come before, then I think that this is a great way to come and just hear these great colors and hear these great sounds and hear this wonderful music. And it's familiar, but it's a new experience too to see it played by a live orchestra.
Okay, Kelly, so set the stage for us. You have mentioned several times people hear the colors. So when we walk into this auditorium, it's at the Leo Rich Theater.
It's actually at the this one's at the Music Hall.
Okay, so this
because we got to have all those seats because that's how many people we expect.
All right, so this will be well attended, folks. So Kelly, when folks walk into the Music Hall, they see the stage, they see the orchestra on the stage preparing to play. What else are they going to notice that you don't typically see at a symphony event?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, when I say hear the colors, really what I'm talking about is the fact that, you know, in an orchestra, you have the strings, you have the winds, you have the brass, you have percussion. But, I mean, you know, depending on the piece that you're playing, you can have anywhere from 80 to well over 100 musicians on stage performing. And so it's a real color palette. You know, there's really an unlimited amount of sounds that can come from an orchestra. It's an instrument that has the ultimate expression capabilities. You know what I mean? I mean,
sure,
there's just
absolutely
so much you can do with an orchestra in terms of, you know, if you have all the brass playing, it's really powerful and impactful, and it can almost push you back in your seat, you know, because of this energy that's coming at you. And so I think that that's that visceral feeling when I speak of color that you get from a live orchestra when you have just this massive group of people coming together with a shared intention and a shared vision and a shared purpose. It's powerful, you know. I mean, it's like you see a band playing, and that's great, but, you know, imagine magnifying that times, you know, 20 or 30 or 40. I mean, you know, to have that kind of scope of music making happening in front of you is like nothing else that you'll experience. So
that's,
I think,
awesome.
that's the thing, you know, for people to recognize when they hear an orchestra, that it's just a, you know, you can't replicate that experience.
Right, but there's,
and even if you put on a CD, I mean, it's not the same thing, you know, as everybody in that moment creating this music together.
Right, but Kelly, there's more, isn't there? There's more sights and sounds at this event that you don't typically get at a symphony event, because when you bring those children, because it is a family event, you bring those children to the TCC Music Hall, they're also going to get to see the movies.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, for me, when I do family programming, I think it's always really vitally important that we do the music and we do it well, and that's the central focus of our program. But as you said, that there are other elements that engage the audience. In this particular case, it's the films, but I think most often in family programming, you'll have, whether it's actors or dancers or visuals or, you know, cool lighting, or, you know, there's always things to enhance that experience, and as you said, in particular with the visual capacity beyond that sonic experience. So I think that, you know, good family programming really touches all the senses and really draws the listener in every way possible into that experience. So, yeah, in the case of Pixar, you're going to see on the big screen, you know, images and all of these things that are beloved.
So, Mark, we're gonna see vignettes of Toy
That's
Story
right.
and Nemo
there's
and Cars.
There's 13 excerpts from right. the best-known Pixar films, you know, Up, Cars, all the ones that you were just listing, and those are going to be shown. And Kelly kind of alluded to this. You know, she mentioned kind of the complexity of what it takes to have a 70-piece orchestra, an 80-piece orchestra working together to make great music. And now we've gone one level further. Let's make it a little harder, and let's have
right.
those 70 musicians perfectly synchronized with a film, just like you were, you know, hearing it in the movie theater, but that music is coming to you live.
Well, that's a great point. How are you guys?
Click track.
Is it?
Well, I wanted Kelly to talk about, because I'm not a conductor, but it has to be pretty challenging. How do you put this? How do you sync the visuals with the music?
Yeah. So when you're working with a click track, and actually, I'm still, I've done it two ways.
Hold on, Kelly. I got a question for you. Kelly.
Sure.
What's a click track?
Okay, so a click track is basically like a metronome. So you'll have a click that's going, you know, click, 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 at whatever tempo or speed the music is at. And so therefore, as the music speeds up, that click track will speed up. If it slows down, it'll slow down. And so it's basically guiding you through the tempo of the piece so that you are 100% aligned with what's happening visually on the screen.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so what you usually do if you're working with a click track is you'll have it in your ear, so you'll have a little earbud, and you'll have that click track going in your ear, and so then, you know, that click is going, and oftentimes the musicians will have it as well. I'm not sure for this case whether or not I'm not sure if we're doing it that way, if every musician will be on click or not, but oftentimes the musicians also might have that click in their ear, and so they're hearing it too, and it just helps everybody to be on the same page with that synchronization.
That's awesome.
Most of the time when you align with film, you'll use that click track. Sometimes they'll do it where there's also a clock, and you have to align with the timing on the clock, but in both scenarios, you know, you specifically know in your score, okay, this measure number is with this moment of the click, you know, and it's tricky because if you get off, you know, and you're in the wrong place, the click could start slowing down, but you're not there yet or something like that could happen. So you need to obviously make sure you're at the right place at every moment.
That's awesome.
In alignment with that click.
So we're going to...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. We can tell how excited you are to conduct this show.
Yeah.
And we're looking forward to seeing you here in Tucson.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. And thanks for letting me chat about all this stuff.
Oh, yeah, so Kelly, if folks out there, if you want to see Kelly, if you want to see Pixar in Concert, which is the number 3 show of the new family series for the Tucson Symphony Orchestra, give us a call at 520-428-5104. We're not giving away tickets to Pixar in Concert, but we are giving away a family pack to Peter and the Wolf and Cindy Ellen, the first two productions of the Tucson Symphony Orchestra.
No, wait, did I screw that up? So Pixar is the first production, and that's happening November 28th to 29th.
This is
next year in 2016, in February, on February 20th, Peter and the Wolf, and then in April 30th at the Leo Rich, both of these are at the Leo Rich, we have Cindy Ellen, Wild West, Cinderella. Super fun.
Yeah, so just the way it was printed.
But actually, I skipped one because in December, of course, we got to do the Magic Christmas show. But, so really, you got four great family shows.
But we're giving a family pack away for Peter and the Wolf and Cindy Ellen. So the first caller at 520-428-5104, and that's 520-428-5104, gets a family pack for
Peter and the Wolf, and Cindy Ellen. So, Kelly, thanks for being on the show. We got a great lineup for next week, which you'll
be
excited about.
Yeah. And, Kelly, when you get here to Tucson, we got some tequila for you.
Oh, okay, great.
So we got dinner. We got all kinds of fun stuff. We'll get together with you and Mark, and we'll show you.
She's coming to my house for Thanksgiving.
Is she really?
She
is. Great.
Yeah.
Oh, did she know that yet?
Yes, she did know that.
I thought you said he was coming.
No. No, Jeff's not invited.
We'll be in Florida. All right, Kelly, thanks, and safe travels here to Tucson. And, folks, we got to go. We had another great one in the books. So we'll talk to you again next week here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
Let's talk about the good time. Let's talk about the good time. I wish I could just go back to the days I'm speaking of. When a friend would meet you and a smile would greet you. What this old world needs now is old fashioned love. Ain't it guitar? Yeah. Preach it, son. Yeah. Well, all right.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Sleeping Frog Farms and Fred's Meditation Salon and Tequila Lounge.